How many people do you know who struggle with their health? Chances are, whether they show it or not, most of the people in your life do. And chances are, you're one of them. Whether you're dealing with anxiety, depression, endometriosis, acne, eczema, autoimmune, thyroid, Lyme, brain fog, fatigue, or any other symptom or condition, you're far from alone. Living with symptoms has become the new normal. So no more guessing games. It's time to get answers. Welcome to the Medical Medium Podcast. I'm Anthony William.
We're talking about sodium, salt. Do you like salt? Do you eat salt? Do you drink salt? Are you adding salt to your water because the trend tells you so? And what about a sodium deficiency? We're talking about that too. It takes some serious bravery learning salt truth, but it never goes well. Everyone usually just freaks out. The addiction is stronger than people believe. The salt demon almost always wins. Hang on for this ride and get yourself comfy because we are on the Salt Express.
So I've been putting salt in my water. Yeah, you should do it too. I saw this like scientific study online that says like you need the sodium, especially if you're working out. Yeah, even my trainer who's like really hot, he said it should be in your water every time you drink, especially since we work out so much. Yeah, so I thought I would just try it, and I really like it, and I feel so much better.
The sodium in your water trend. A trend that you would think is so backed by science and so important for us. But all it's really doing is just adding salt to already a high salt diet, because that's what our society does. Salts everything, and we get salted practically to death. So first, let's address the salt in the water trick. It's a dangerous trick. No one would believe it. It's almost unbelievable. But here's what happens. When you put salt in water and send it down on an empty stomach, and you may not have had food before or shortly after, then that salt water goes directly into the liver. Not to detoxify it, not to help it, but to pickle it, to actually pickle it. The last thing our livers want is salt shock. Salt shock. It's what happens when it mainlines right to the liver with nothing buffering it. You ever see what happens when a body part is salted? You know, like a pig rump or some type of meat, and it's salted. A salt rub, and then it sits there and ferments. The salt just sucks the juice out of it over time. If you salt a human being while they're alive, they'll die. If you pack somebody's body with salt, like pack them with salt, where their whole body's covered in salt, and then wrap them up with foil, make sure they're nice and packed, nice and tight and neat, over time, their skin would practically melt off. Their juices would leave their body. They would get severely dehydrated. Their tissue, their muscle, meat would get dehydrated. Their blood would turn into a salty soup. They would die. We're told out there all the time by people in the trainer world, the exercise world, the science world, that we're made of salt, the medical world, that we're made of salt. Not true. Yes, sodium's a critical mineral. Yes, we have it in our bloodstream and in our organs. Yes, we need it. Yes, it's the foundation of a building block, an electrolyte. Yes, we need it for neurotransmitters. But too much of a good thing goes bad. Too much of the wrong good thing goes worse. There's two worlds of thought out there. One is the old standard American medical model, which is, you got to watch out for sodium. Too much sodium, not good for your heart, not good for your blood pressure, stay away from salt, do a no-salt diet. That was the old standard medical model. And then the new alternative health slash conventional medical model slash health model, which is you need sodium, you need salt. And they believe the old conventional model of being salt free as wrong. They think it's wrong information, outdated, bad, and so forth. But both worlds are wrong. We do need salt. Our bloodstream needs salt, but the right kind of salt. Our bloodstream doesn't need a teaspoon of salt or huge pinch of salt in a glass of water. Our bloodstream, our organs don't need a glass of water every few hours with a pinch of salt in it either. We don't need direct hits of salt like this. If someone has a liver disease, cirrhosis of liver, hepatitis C, or a liver that's on the edge of failing, then you do a whole glass of water and you put a nice hunk of salt in there or a pinch of salt, you're risking a liver shutdown. You're risking a liver failure because your liver is going to uptake that sodium. It's going to shock it, and it doesn't shock it to cleanse it. The shock instead paralyzes it, puts it in a different motion, shuts it down, slows it down. Hard salt is toxic to the body. But yet we're being told and conditioned every day in the health movement that salt is healthy for the body. So much so, it's actually scary. Everybody's pushing sodium, pushing salt. Of course, they're pushing the good salts, and they're standing behind that. Rightfully so. Good salt is good salt if you're going to use it. But salt is still toxic, highly toxic on the body, in large quantities. In large quantities. And that's what's happening. Now, it's different if you have a little bit going on your food. You have a buffer. The liver's buffered. It can actually disperse differently. It gets into the bloodstream differently. But when it's in the glasses of water and thrown in there like that straight, empty stomach most of the time, it's shock. Toxic shock syndrome to the liver through salt. And when high-quality sodium, high-quality salt is on food, it has a different delivery system. It can bond onto something, hopefully bond onto something temporarily. Maybe not long-term, but temporarily. All these different nutrients you have in all your different foods, antioxidants and phytonutrients of all kinds, sitting there right in front of you on your plate, the salt gets put on there. There's a chance it's going to bond to something, at least temporarily. You have a better chance when it's like that, when it's with food, a better chance you won't get a shutdown, a better chance the salt will be bonded. Now remember, if you're on a ship and you're thirsty and you're out there on the ocean for a long time and you start drinking that salt water, guess what happens? You die. You get dehydrated, you get pickled, and you die. And guess what? It happened over and over again out there. People got desperate. They were in the ocean, on the ocean. Maybe they were stranded somewhere and they drank and consumed salt water. If it was okay to stick salt in water every single day while you're training or exercising or living your life, just doing it every day, if it was okay, then it would be okay to drink it in a glass right out of the ocean on a ship every day. But what saves somebody to do it now out of a glass and a pinch is they end up doing something else a little later. They drink coffee, they have a snack, they have a shake. They have some food, they have dinner, and it keeps them in the okay enough zone. They're still damaging themselves, they're still damaging their liver, but it keeps them in a safety zone enough to not notice it. Now, you would think the brain, it runs on electrolytes. Neurotransmitters need electrolytes. Sodium is something the brain needs. Then you would think drinking seawater every day on a stranded ship would feed the brain. You would do pretty good. But instead, it pickles the brain. And that's what happens. It's not just the liver that goes into shock. The brain goes into shock over time. You end up pickling the brain. Your brain starts to die. You would think this would be known or common sense would happen with someone. You can't drink ocean water because of the salt, the sodium. You end up with a tragic fate if you do. So why is it good now? Why is it good to take a glass of water and add salt to it and drink it and promote it like a health thing? Same as a lot of things in alternative medicine and conventional. They're just wrong. They don't know. It's the Wild West. Mistakes are made. People suffer for it over time. Nobody really talks about it. It's swept under the carpet, but it becomes one big, great mistake. If it was a good idea, if it was smart, I would have talked about it long time ago. If it was intelligent, something to do, something that was good for us, I would have been promoting it and talking about it as a healing tool a long time ago. But instead, SOC told me lemon water. Squeeze lemon in water, flushes the liver of all these poisons and toxins first thing in the morning, flushes the body of toxins. It provides calcium, provides vitamin C, antioxidants, trace minerals. It's a key way to heal. It's a very important aspect of healing. And don't think it's smart now adding lemon to your salt water. Don't think that's a great idea either, where you put a pinch of salt in your water, then squeeze lemon into it. You're not outsmarting the fox. The fox is still going to break into the property and the hen house. It's still going to kill all the chickens and then leave a scat and laugh on its way out. You're not going to fix a problem by altering the problem, but keeping the problem still there. Instead, by adding the sodium, the salt, to your lemon water, if you're somebody that does that, you just threw off the balance of what the lemon can do. The lemon water can't do the flushing action it once did. It can't be that cleanser for the liver anymore. It's been altered. The salt changed the chemistry. And when the salt changes the chemistry, someone is not going to get the results they need or what they're looking for. So when they're drinking the lemon water because they hear great things about it, but they're not getting results that they're supposed to get from the lemon water, they're going to think something's wrong. And yes, something is wrong. They don't know it. It's the salt. They add it to the lemon water. If the lemon tree thought it would be really smart to pull up all the sodium from the earth and fill the lemon with it and make it one big salt ball, one big salty lemon, then it would have happened in nature. The lemon tree would have drawn up sodium from the earth just like celery does or spinach. And it would have been salty. Lemons would have been really salty. Now, lemons have a tiny bit of sodium in it. Not harsh sodium, not hard sodium, not sea salt, not Himalayan rock salt, but a tiny bit of trace sodium. If there was supposed to be grams of sodium in a lemon, then there would be. There's a reason why there's not. It throws off the balance of what the lemon is there for and what it does for us. Same thing as a tomato. Trace levels of sodium. But the tomato plant isn't producing nor driving up sodium from the soil into the tomato to make it super salty. If the trace mineral solution, you can do that and feed your garden beds, feed your plants, your flowers, and your fruit trees. You can do it with a trace mineral complex fluid or liquid that's designed to dilute and nourish your plants. But you can't just take salt water and feed your plants with it. Everything dies because that's what happens. We're like a plant in some ways. You can't just pack us with salt like a salted fish. We'll die. And you can't just fill us up with salt water either because we will die as well. But yet, we need sodium. We need that mineral. We need it for our brains. We need it for our bloodstream. We need it for our tissue and organs and muscle. In the 1970s, during heat waves, science came up with some information. A lot of people were drinking a lot of water during a heat wave. They were just guzzling gallons of water throughout the day because it was about staying hydrated. It was really hot. It was sunny. Maybe they were in an area without air conditioning. A lot of people back in the 70s did not have air conditioning. And during heat waves, people would eat less. So they wouldn't eat some big old steak dinner with a bunch of salt on it. They wouldn't eat some kind of food. They wouldn't have pancakes. They wouldn't really have much of anything. The heat waves rolled in. Nobody had air conditioning. Everybody was trying to put ice on themselves from the refrigerator. And everybody was drinking lots and lots of water. And if somebody didn't drown themselves, where they drank way too much, more water than their kidneys can process, more water than their bloodstream can contain and hold, and they diluted themselves to such a degree where their lungs filled with water and they drowned. If they didn't have that happen and they were able to process that water, their kidneys were able to excrete it, and they were able to drink a couple of gallons a day, a few gallons a day during a heat wave, then science and research would say you're not retaining the water during a heat wave. It's dangerous. There's no sodium. People are just peeing the water out as it's going in, and they're not getting hydrated. So science and conventional medicine had two schools of thought. You need to drink a lot of water when there's a heat wave, and you can't drink a lot of water during a heat wave because there's no sodium. Reminds me of sugar. We need blood sugar to survive. We have to have a certain amount of blood sugar or we can't function or live. Our brain needs glucose, sugar, within 10 seconds, 5 seconds actually, before it starts to die, if it doesn't have it. Sugar is what makes our bodies go around. But yet, there's a massive war against sugar. This is why fruit was under attack for so long. Natural sugar in fruit was under attack. Fruit fear. I talked about it for many, many years. Everybody in alternative health was against fruit. They just were. They called it all sugar and told people to stay away from it. But if people don't eat fruit of any kind, where are they going to get their glucose? What other sources? Lactose from dairy? What else? Corn? Different grains? Where are they getting their sugar? They have to get it somewhere. We have to survive. We have to live on it. We have to have it in our bloodstream. But the details and the nuances are critical in this, because there's healthier sugars that are naturally derived from an apple. And then there's corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup. There's also other sugars too. There's honey, which is a very healthy sugar. And then at the same time, there's lactose, dairy, which is not a good sugar. All these details matter for somebody to be healthy and to protect your health and give them what they need. Same thing with sodium. We need it in our bloodstream, in our organs, in our brain. The details matter. There's a big difference from coconut water, which has sodium in it, and celery juice, which has sodium in it, and spinach, which has sodium in it, versus road salt or a healthier salt, like a good Himalayan rock salt or a good sea salt. There's a big difference. Plus, when you drink coconut water, you can't control the amount of sodium in there unless you add it to it. It's naturally balanced, just right for the human condition. But when you farm salt and you hold on to it in your hand, you have your free will and control. You're the one taking it, throwing it in water. You see, it's not like coconut water. That's nature doing it. Somebody's hand isn't going and throwing salt up on the tree and it somehow gets inside the coconut. It's not, it's sealed. But we take it in our hand, our shaker, we pinch it, whatever we want, and we throw it right into that water. It's different than adding some sodium to your food. The sodium going into food gets buffered. It may not be the best thing. You don't want a lot of it on there. But at the same time, it is getting buffered to a safety zone. Unless it's so much salt, it makes things complicated. Now, if you take honey, for example, do a tablespoon of honey because you got your free will, you got the jar of honey, you're not just doing a teaspoon, you're digging in and doing a big old tablespoon in your cup of tea. That's your free will doing it. Are you going to get in trouble? Not like salt. Take a tablespoon of salt, dump it in that glass of water, and send it down. There's a huge difference. Take a tablespoon of honey, put it in your mouth, chomp on it, swallow it, eat it. It's different. You take a tablespoon of salt, put it in your mouth, and sit there and chomp on it and chomp on it, and then swallow it and eat it. You'll see two different beasts. But let's talk about saltwater gargling. That's a different thing all on its own. I like it for certain things. If somebody has something like an ulcer in their mouth, they can do some saltwater gargling. But understand this. If you make it nice and thick with salt, little glass of warm water, you put a good tablespoon or more salt in there, you mix it up until it disappears, and then you gargle with it. You're not going to want to swallow all of that. You're not going to want to drink that with all the salt in there, because there's a good chance you're going to vomit it back up. Because your body has a mechanism. It knows it's trouble. It knows it's problematic, and it doesn't want it going down. And you end up getting a reflex. Your brain gets a message, sends it right down to the vagus nerves. Your vagus nerves say no, and that stuff comes right back up. But when you're gargling, you're really not supposed to swallow it. You're not. You're supposed to spit it back out and rinse your mouth out. Just like when you're on a ship floating out on the ocean and you ran out of your water supply, you're not supposed to be sitting there drinking flasks of water that came out of the ocean, salt water. You can gargle it, but you can't swallow it. But yet, once again, our bodies need sodium. They do. And some people, they fight an addiction because of it. Because, yeah, we do need it. But yet, we get addicted to it. And our favorite way to eat salt is with oil, especially on chips. Salty, oily, salty, greasy, salt, and fat. It's our favorite combination. And what happens is the fat cuts the salt. That's right. The fat cuts the salt, hides it just enough. We love that fatty, salty, crunchy taste. We're the only creature on the planet that adds salt to everything. All the other creatures on the planet, they're not doing that. You think a family of bunny rabbits are sitting there saying, pass the salt. Hey, let me have those few blades of grass. Get some salt on this thing. It's bland. What about a lion? Lion wants some animal meat. Is that lion saying, ooh, we need some salt cracked on top of this meat right here? It's not salty enough. I want to have my meat salt to taste. And what about a monkey that likes to eat wild figs? Is that monkey saying, this fig needs salt? Whoa, I'm eating a bunch of figs. I feel like I need some salt here. Please pass the salt, somebody. What about a bear? Bears eat some meat too. They're not asking for the salt. They're not craving the salt. They're not saying, hey, this piece of meat that I just killed, this animal that I just killed, needs a whole bunch of salt. It's too bland. It's yucky. Don't get mistaken when you hear something about a rock salt deposit somewhere on a mountaintop that an animal went up to and licked. And that was all of a sudden the answer to it all. First of all, it's a big planet. There's not a lot of options for that. Salt just isn't everywhere, laying everywhere, totally exposed, ready for every animal to lick it. Very few wild animals on this planet have access to a salt deposit on a mountaintop somewhere on this planet. And when it comes to ag, when it comes to raising animals for slaughter or raising animals in general for sale and so forth, what happens is they do the salt thing for salt addiction. They salt up the pigs, so pigs eat more and more. The fatter, the bigger the pig can win an award. The same thing with anything. Cows and so forth, fatten up the cows, sell more meat, thicken up the steers. Then you can sell them price per pound, get them addicted to sodium. They sell salt blocks of salt. They want animals to take a lick if possible, because steers can get fussy with their food. If the steer gets too lean, it's not good. Farmer is mad. They salt the food. They want them to lick the salt blocks. It makes them hungry, gets them addicted to more food. Then they can feed them more, thicken them up, and sell them. Packaged food companies for humans put a lot of salt in there, plus MSG. People like it. They eat more. They get addicted. They fatten up. They want to eat more. They buy it again and again and again. Same old trick. For husbands and for their families, they're still using salt every single day, even if they're not making salted butter. The salt addiction is real. But it's okay to have a little bit of a high-quality salt. It's okay to put a little bit on your food. It dilutes it enough. It buffers it enough. It's not liver shock, like when you're dumping it in water. So people love their sodium. They love their salt, and our bloodstream needs it. But what our bloodstream and our organs really cry for is sodium that's naturally derived in something like an herb. There's a little bit of sodium in fresh herbs, cilantro, parsley, sage, thyme. There's a little bit of sodium in spirulina. That's one all on its own. There's a little bit of sodium in barley grass juice powder. There's a little bit of sodium in tomatoes, in lemons. And there's a decent amount of sodium in celery, in coconut water. When you use these forms of sodium, they're bonded to trace minerals that hold out. They become holdouts. What does that mean? They stay in the bloodstream and they keep a balance, a sodium balance, so somebody doesn't go sodium deficient or sodium overload. It keeps the balance for the neurotransmitters, for the building blocks, the electrolytes, all of it. The celery that has sodium cluster salts, a subgroup of sodium on top of macrosodium. And then when you make a medical medium spinach soup, it is a powerful healing tool, and it's high in naturally derived sodium, the kind our bodies need that's in spinach. Whew.
I love this treadmill. Yeah, it's like one of the best. Technology is amazing. See, if you use it this way, you could do a quick run on it. Yeah, no, I'm a trainer too. Like, how long you been in this gym? Like, how long you been coming here?
Let's see, like, I've been coming here for about a year. I like this treadmill too. It's like my favorite one. I haven't seen you here though. Like, really? You've been here for like 2 years?
I totally have. I've been here for like 2 years. Yeah. I'm just, do you do salt water? Because that's something you should do. I see you're sweating a lot.
You mean like putting like a pinch of salt in like a glass of water, like every day and every morning? And after my workouts, I tried it like a while ago. You think I should like do it again?
You should. You should totally do that. And I'm a trainer. I've been training for years, and I have a training coaching practice. I can help you out and we can figure things out. That's one tip I can give you that's really good.
Okay, like that's really cool. I really like that. You know, this is like a really great, great place.
It's on its way in, and soon again, on its way out. A new biohack, which is really old hat. Been tried before, revived and retried, sold once more. Who can sift through them all and know which ones can make people live strong or fall? But Lord, oh Lord, can you shine a light on the misguided bio tricks that saturate the health information shores? Lord, oh Lord, help the sick. Avoid the jagged rocks that are made up of egotistical health slumlords. An ocean trip turns into a tragic turn of events when the captain says there is no fresh water left on the ship. And batten down the hatches, it's time to drink our urine first to quench our thirst before we have no choice but to drink the salty ocean water. And as the days go by one, they sicken and die. For the water with flavor has no place in a man's stomach before the bowel labors. It's all fun to shout out a salt trick while science backs it up with an animal lick, which could be partially okay if the details and the nuances were known and taught and learned in a certain way and not gone astray. So lo and behold, it finally makes sense, so an unsuspected person doesn't take another blow and get burned and set back while trying to move forward. Never all is lost. Your body's healing and picking back up. It tips the scale back to quicker recovery. Life restores. The body forgives once more. You now hold the keys to the healing door.
Original published medical medium information gets stolen and poached by podcast doctors, social media doctors, influencers, and medical clinics. Medical medium information has never yet been proven wrong by medical science and research. Instead, the opposite, only proven right and then taken from medical medium published material and used in the conventional and alternative health communities. Medical medium information continually sets the stage for medical science to understand chronic illness better. If you choose to share or use the original, unique content from the medical medium podcast, books, or medical medium social media, please cite where this information comes from, so others who see and learn of this information have a chance to know where it all originates, to give them an opportunity to heal, so they don't end up losing years of their life searching for answers like so many have before them. The medical medium information here on this podcast doesn't come from broken science, interest groups, medical funding with strings attached, botched research, lobbyists, internal kickbacks, persuaded belief systems, private panels of influencers, health field payoffs, trendy traps, or gathered bits and pieces of gimmicky confusion. Because chronic illness is exploding like never before in our modern day history, it takes a greater force than us down here. It takes a helping hand from above. Medical medium information has street cred. It's an organic movement of countless people around the world healing. More healing stories of real people not being paid to tell their life-changing experiences of rising out of the ashes of sickness and entering into the light of full recovery, getting their lives back and finally healing when nothing else in the world of health could move the needle and get them better. The information on this podcast is not man-made. It comes from above, from a higher source. Whatever you believe in, whether God, the universe, the light, or the creator, or if you believe in nothing at all, that we're just floating through space together on this rock, know that the information you hear on this podcast is separate from all the other noise out there. It comes from a different place, a pure, untampered with, advanced, clean, uncorrupted, original, primary source, a higher source, spirit of compassion.